Gag, who drives it through.
Hit the high notes on the park. That's how we became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate we never won anything.
Men's in trouble, there's Steve Kirk. The super sub has done it again, and Motherwell are back in front.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic!
I remember it to this day. It was unbelievable, and that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who were wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though. Still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Yeah, obviously, being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson. Defenders backing off. Took a deflection! And it goes! Misjudged by Bell! Fir Park! Twisting! Shouting! Shaking!
Hello, Happy New Year, and welcome to the MFC podcast. Tonight, myself, Jay, and Joe McKelvey will go over a busy festive period for Motherwell Football Club. Look ahead to this weekend's Scottish Cup fixture against Cove Rangers. And basically just talk about preview the transfer window and such likes as we do in the month of January. Guys, welcome along.
Cheers.
Thanks.
Well, following on from the excellent victory over Celtic just prior to Christmas, we were all really looking forward to the trip to Tannadice. Unfortunately, and surprisingly not through the fault of Jim's taxis, the game was cancelled. Jay, it was a bit of a disappointing one, I guess, given that the momentum was very much with us. Dundee United, perhaps we're still considered as a team that we should be putting a fair bit of distance between. Maybe they still are, given they're bottom of the league and given that we were fighting out last season at that end of the table. Obviously, the game wasn't to be. Disappointment in Boxing Day, given they maybe taken a few extra supporters there as well. But just like the fixture at... what game was cancelled?
Partick Thistle.
Just like the fixture at Partick Thistle a few weeks prior, we'll need to look forward to a midweek in February for that one.
Yeah, and you're spot on. I think we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago about the fact that if you're going to hit form or you're going to put a few results together over the Christmas period is the perfect time to do it, because you have those short breaks in between games, the fixtures are, you know, it's a bit more congested than normal. So when you're winning games and playing well, then you can really, you know, get that momentum going for you. So obviously from a on the field point of view, it was really disappointing. Particularly because it was a fixture, you would have expected us to go and win, because Dundee United are at the moment absolutely hopeless. They're a team that we should be beating, whether it be at Fir Park or Tannadice. But as with any team in this league, you know that there is always the chance that they might turn the corner at some point. And unfortunately, we're now in the situation where if Mixu Patalainen, you know, maybe makes a few decent signings in the transfer window or manages to, you know, just kind of turn things around, then we might have to go to Tannadice and face a more difficult tie than we would have if we'd got the game on Boxing Day, because it's certainly a game that I think we would have expected to win.
Joe, that being said, I know we've not discussed the results in full over the festive period, but I'm imagining that most people listening will already know them. The points that we've picked up over that period, coupled with a good run coming into Christmas, you would like to think that the team and Mark McGee will now be looking up the table rather than looking over our shoulders, which we did for the best part of August to November, really.
Yeah, definitely. It's been a remarkable turnaround in the five games in which we've been unbeaten. I missed the Ross County game, but the Inverness game, where we were beaten at home, there were even glimpses in that game that I thought were playing well. So it seems now that he obviously used the first few games to test every player out and check what was what, but since he's settled 11, I mean, 11's only changed once in the five games have been beaten. Ben Hall coming in for Kennedy, that's the only change there's been. Since he's a settled team, we look like a team playing great football, high in confidence, and it's really, for me, it's really got the enjoyment back of going to see Motherwell. Like both of you, I was gutted the game was off on Boxing Day. I was really looking forward to a trip up in Jim's taxi and another game, it's been remarkable. The team just seem to be playing with confidence just now. We've got our strikers are scoring goals. We've got Marvin Johnson, looks like he's back to the form we've seen from to the tail end of last season. And our defence looks solid. Ripley's improved. He just all round great times on the pitch for us at the minute.
That's it, Jay. It was followed up by a fixture against St Johnstone and another performance that gave real encouragement. A fantastic first 45 minutes when we went into a 2-0 lead. Kind of had to grind it out a wee bit in the second half, but took all 3 points and a clean sheet to boot as well that night. It's just, that was a game that I looked upon as St Johnstone were in good form. They've had a really good start to the season. Now traditionally a top six side. So that was a big win psychologically as well.
Yeah, I think when you look at the fixtures over the festive period, that was probably, you know, up there. Obviously, you know, Celtic away, if you got anything from that, never mind a win, it was going to be a bonus. But I think St Johnstone, given, you know, where they are this season, where they have been in seasons in the past, I think that was a tie that I think you would have despite, you know, what Joe's saying about, you know, the upturn in fortunes and how we're playing with confidence, etc. I think, you know, the majority of Motherwell fans would have still been happy with a point against St Johnstone, given, you know, they'll have their own European ambitions and looking to build on, you know, a number of successful seasons. And instead, I thought we were by far the better team, despite whatever game Tommy Wright seemed to have been watching. I thought that, you know, it was a 2-0, could have been more. And it was just a really good performance. And it's the kind of performance that I think we all knew that we were capable of, because we've got the players. You know, you don't have a team with guys like, you know, like Pearson, Marvin Johnson, Scott McDonald. You don't have a team with guys like that in it without being able to turn it on at times and without being able to play good football and create chances and score goals. And it was just good to see it. And, you know, it kind of, for me, it perhaps marked the fact that we had turned a corner. I think we said it over the last couple of weeks that certain games that we'd seen, yes, we'd done well at Celtic Park, we'd picked up a few good results, but I don't think MD wanted to get too ahead of ourselves. But for me, I think getting that win against St Johnstone, I think, to me, all but cemented the idea that McGee has actually turned things around, and as you said, we can start to look above us rather than below us.
Yeah, Joe, it was the first half particularly where we really looked a class above, a very good side. It's been a long time since we actually almost felt like we were blowing our team away in the first half. It was very, very impressive.
Yeah, very much so. And I've noticed that to kind of being a trait of our upturning fortunes under McGee is that we seem to come out the traps very well, start games really well. We're getting the first goal in a lot of games that we've been playing in. So yeah, the St Johnstone game really impressed me. From the first half, the all-round performance I thought was great. The fluency between guys in midfield, linking up with Louis Moult, Scott McDonald. Scott McDonald did a great game despite not scoring on Wednesday night. But yeah, I also was thinking at the time that had those five games that we've been unbeaten been in August, and you've got Hearts, Celtic and St Johnstone in them, I mean, I'm sure we could have all seen Ian Barakoff standing there after getting defeated in those three games saying there's nothing we can do, they're a good side. So I guess it shows like a change in mentality there. We're coming in, and for me, the way we've played in the last five games without getting ahead of ourselves, when any team comes to Fir Park, I would be wanting us to go out with the same mindset we have been to attack them and to win the game. It's been strange looking at the rest of the fixtures just now with the league being so tight, and if it doesn't involve Celtic, Aberdeen and Hearts, then you want a draw, because I certainly think that we're in a position now where we should be looking to be going more towards the top six rather than fearing the playoffs.
Jay, it's something that Bustard alludes to quite a lot in the podcast, the how tight the league is and how on their day any team could beat another team. That very much reflects in the league table just now. I think Hearts and St Johnston in third and fourth have got a wee bit of a gap above the rest of the table. Dundee United are looking a bit isolated at the bottom just now. But in between 11th to 5th, there's just absolutely nothing in it.
Yeah, I mean, it's been like that for a few weeks. That's, I think, one of the reasons or one of the issues I think we had with Mark McGee's first two games, particularly in Ross County away and things like that. Those games where, as Joe said, he sort of used those games as friendly matches to try players out and to find out where he wanted to go with the team. And as much as I obviously recognise that that's a part of the job, it was quite frustrating at times because we were looking at the league table, we were seeing how tight it was. But that can change pretty quickly, particularly now when you see teams like ourselves starting to pick up games in hand over, you know, I think we've got two games in hand over Ross County in fifth. We win both of those, we're a point ahead of them. So, you know, it will change. It will change in perhaps the coming weeks. You know, by the end of January, the top and bottom six could be far more clear. So it was crucial that we had to get things right as quickly as possible. As much as I understand that a new manager needs that bedding in period and needs to get to know his players, it was, you know, crucial that we turned the corner as quickly as possible because, you know, when that eventually happens and the league starts to look a little bit more like you would expect with your, you know, perhaps your one or two at the top, a concrete top six and perhaps, you know, a bottom six with one or two teams struggling at the bottom. When that happens, we need to make sure that we're in the top six.
Joe, as Jay pointed out here, it's almost crazy to think about us contesting for the top six, given how poor the start was, but we're very much challengers now. And to make it even dafter to consider a couple of wins in our opening games at Tynecastle and then against Ross County at Firth Park, suddenly we could be actually battling for an outside chance of the Europa League.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that because, I mean, Mark McGee came in and his first game against Celtic, we looked very, very lacklustre in that, and I know taking anything out from Celtic's a bonus, and that was an addition to sort of the dross that we'd been served up under Ian Barakoff. In the first couple of times we played under Mark McGee, you're thinking to yourself, can a manager solve this? Is the mess too much? But thankfully it's turned out not to be. And one thing I'll say in our favour just now is, although I do think we should have won at the weekend, Aki's, I'm sure I heard on Sports Scene last night, are one win in 11 games. The reliability of the stat coming from Sports Scene might mean it's not great, but they're coming in one win in 11 games and they're on a comparable amount of points to us, whereas we've been unbeaten in five, and I think the momentum's on our side just now. Whereas you looked back a couple of months ago, and I was joking with a guy at work that Motherwell would finish above Hamilton Accies at the start of the season, and he's been casting it up to me all the time, so it was good to kind of go in today and to show him the league table. So it's just, it's great that way. I wouldn't be overly concerned with challenging for the Europa League. The way Ian Barakoff left us, had we been lower mid-table at May, if you'd have said that to me then, I would have taken it, maybe 8th or 9th, somewhere that's not the playoffs, somewhere that's comfortably safe. But now, I think we need to be looking at a happy medium between not getting ahead of ourselves and looking at 3rd or 4th, but not letting a lack of ambition cost us 6th. Where we were when Barakoff left wasn't a bad predicament, but if we've got the ability and we've got the ambition to get ourselves into the top six, we can keep this run going, put another few wins together, then certainly, yeah, it's going to be a lot different season to what we might have thought it would have been.
I wasn't really considering that it was a distinct possibility. It was more just the fact that you look at 6 points behind St Johnston currently in the table, some winnable games coming up, St Johnston going and how much better we were than them, and the 30th of December game, there's every possibility that they might get a few negative results as well. So it's just, it just shows you how quickly things can turn around. But I suppose the other thing to consider is it can swing in the other direction as well. You go to Tynecastle and perhaps suffer defeat. Then Ross County are always stubborn opposition when they come to Fir Park. It could change the other way, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, also you could look at it from the respect that, as I mentioned earlier, our team has stayed pretty much the same in the duration of that 5-game unbeaten run. And when you think about it, like a couple of injuries to guys who are standout players for us, say Stephen Pearson, who I think has been terrific lately, he's a massive player for us, Louis Moult, Scott McDonald, Marvin Johnson. Should we have 3 or 4 games without them, we could take a downturn, unfortunately. So it could go either way. For this, I suppose that applies to any team as well. But I'm certainly happy that we're in a position now where we're talking and looking up the table and not dreading another playoffs.
Jay, we finished the festive period fixtures with a very entertaining but very frustrating in the same token fixture against Hamilton Accies. A 3-3 draw in the end. A game that we looked certain to have claimed all 3 points after coming back from 2-1 behind, only to be denied by a 95th minute penalty. The game really had so much entertainment wise. It was, as I said, a horrible way to be denied all 3 points. But again, another good performance. A point, we avoided defeat. We showed great spirit to come back from 2-1 down. We looked by far the better team throughout the second half, I felt, and for the most part of the first half too. So despite the disappointment at the end result, it's very hard to be negative just now.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think, you know, even when we were losing 2-1, I think that, I didn't feel, you know, losing 2-1 before half-time, I didn't really feel as though the game was gone by any means. I think we actually looked comfortable at that point. I was still perfectly content. I was still confident that we'd go on and win the game. And when you go 3-2 up, and, you know, for me, we should have went on. We should have went on and finished the job. But it wasn't to be. But I think you're right. It's not losing a last minute penalty equaliser against Hampton Aggies to lose a game you look comfortable. To draw a game that you look comfortable in isn't an ideal situation. It is a bit of a kick in the balls, but it's not as negative as you think. You know, as it perhaps normally would be. And I think that's not just down to how well we've been playing and how well we actually played against Aggies, but I think it, you know, I think it stems from what Joe was saying earlier about the change in mentality. I think that now that we have Mark McGee in charge, and I've said before, I don't like him. I think I really, really don't like Mark McGee as a person and as the ex-Motherwell manager, but he's doing a good job. He's a winner. And I think that the mentality that he'll have and that the team will have under him won't have the same reaction to losing that 90th or 94th minute penalty as perhaps a Barraclough side would. I think if we'd went 3-2 up against Aggies and we'd lost that penalty, I don't believe Ian Barraclough would have had the ability to, you know, get the players going again, to pick them up and to get them determined for the next game. So I think that's perhaps where that positivity stems from as well. I think it's just kind of that confidence and that security that you now have a manager and a team that will respond positively to that result rather than, you know, now going on a slump.
I suppose it's important to remember as well that the result against St Johnstone, it gave us that kind of buffer against not picking up 3 points against Hamilton, where you'd have maybe thought that there was a potential for a defeat or certainly a draw against St Johnstone. So that made things a wee bit more difficult, but obviously that turned out not to be the case.
Well, for me, we got a point. We perhaps should have won. For me, the main negative from the game is Steele Robinson coming on. That's the main negative as far as I'm concerned. You know, we spoke about it at the game. I think we were all very much of the opinion, even when he came on at 3-2 up, you know, and played up front. I think we all were of the opinion that had Clarkson or McFadden went on, it would have been a far more sensible substitution, someone who could have held the ball up, gave us an out ball, and killed the game. And instead, Theo Robinson ran about like a headless chicken for 10 minutes and really put us under the cosh. So if there was going to be one negative or one kind of gripe, it would have been that you know, for me, an absolutely mental substitution. But then when you look at all the things that McGee has done correctly since he came in, particularly the introduction of Ben Hall, I think when Ben Hall was thrown in, we all kind of looked at each other, you know, who's this guy? Why is he playing? What has Kennedy done wrong? And I think he's been tremendous. He's probably, you know, he's been better than McManus has for most of the season. So, you know, if there was one gripe of McGee recently, it would be that substitution. I think it ultimately played a part in us being in a position where we could lose that equaliser, if not a direct part in it. So that was a negative. But overall, you know, it's a local derby, it's a New Year's Day. Sometimes these games have a bit of a cup tie feel to them. And, you know, as disappointing as it was to lose the penalty, I think we can now go into the next fixture still full of confidence.
Joe, that substitution has been a major talking point amongst Motherwell supporters. Robinson seemingly well out the picture until Saturday, coming on at a very important time. You would have thought that given the impressive performance of David Clarkson off the bench against Dundee, young Dom Thomas, who has continued to perform in the 20s, you've got McFadden there, who's brought in a 6-week deal, partly to rely on his experience and given his performances in training. This one kind of came out of left field then, to go and put Robinson in at a big stage of a big match.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I was actually very surprised he was on the bench in the first place. And that was one criticism I would possibly have about over the weekend, was the substitutes bench in general. You turn up at the game and you look at your bench. I assume Ainsworth had a knock or something that stopped him being in the bench, because I thought without him in the bench, he kind of gives you an option. And I know I've lamented his attitude at times, but the last sort of, since I came back into the team in April last year, I don't really have any great with Ainsworth's attitude. So seeing him off the bench surprised me. Further to that, with him not being in the bench, he didn't put Thomas in the bench at the weekend either. So surely going from having two wingers on the bench in midweek to then having neither of them on the bench was quite peculiar for me. And you look at that, you've got three centre forwards and Clarkson, McFadden and Robinson on your bench, and you're not going to change three strikers over the course of a game. So I thought it kind of left us a bit dry on options. But as Jay said, if I was taking Moat off and bringing another centre forward on, then it would have been for me Clarkson or McFadden, because Theo Robinson to hold the ball up, I've not seen one piece of evidence to suggest he can do that. The ball just seems to be treated like a balloon to him any time I've seen him on it. One other criticism I would have regarding the substitutes on Saturday would be the lack of one, and that was Keith Lasley. It is a difficult role to come into, the sort of central holding midfielder in a what was turning into an intense local derby at that time. But at the game, about 5 minutes before he got sent off, he made a foul and the referee waved advantage. And Jay said to me, I'm glad the referee's waved advantage there, because if he'd called for a foul, he could very well have given Lasley a second booking there, which I totally agreed with. Not only that, another couple of minutes later, he flew into another questionable tackle and was again lucky not to get booked. And although the circumstances of his second booking were sort of out with Mark McGee's control, part of me did wonder why me and Jay can be standing in the stand saying, well, we should really substitute him before he gets sent off. Why can't he say it? But again, as Jay said, he's done so many good things in the past 3 or 4 weeks that us nitpicking the negatives is maybe a bit harsh on him.
That kind of takes you on nicely, though, to the January transfer window and who will remain and who will likely to see the back of. There's a few kind of obvious ones that you would expect to see leave, but the omission of Lionel Ainsworth on Saturday was an interesting one. Joe, you mentioned you thought he might have had a knock. If that wasn't the case, there was a few rumours of him heading back down south, which would be quite surprising given the stories about him having a young family here and been very, very settled. that's one I certainly wouldn't like to see leave.
Yeah, certainly, I agree with you 100%. And if you'd asked me this time last year, I wouldn't have believed that I would be saying it. But since he came back into the starting 11 and end of March, start of April last year, scored some very important goals. And I know he's not in the starting 11 just now, and I wouldn't change the starting 11 just now. He's a great option to have on the bench. And for a guy who can look sort of done after 60 minutes, to have him to come on for 20 or 30 is a really good option. He probably wouldn't see it that way. I'd imagine he would want to be playing every week. But as I say, you look at our bench without him on Saturday, and when he brought Theo Robinson on for Louis Moult, I was at the time thinking to myself, who could he bring on to change the shape a bit, to do something a bit different? And there wasn't really anything there. It was just like for like changes. So even if he's not a 100% starter every week, he's a guy I would definitely love to have about the squad, because his goals and assists record speaks for itself. And but one thing I will say is, of all the rumours I've seen about him going here, going there, I haven't seen one bit of evidence to back it up yet. You know, even sometimes when you get rumours that never come to fruition, there is that one newspaper article that's ran with the story, that there is that one bit of information that looks reputable on the internet. All I've seen is people posting it on Steelman Online and on that Well Fans page on Facebook. So I'm not treating the rumours with a source for any worry. One game out the squad, coinciding to the window opening, I think it's just got rumour mill sparking.
I think it's worth pointing out as well. I mean, I think as much as I disagreed with Robinson coming on, I think that if Ainsworth, as Joe says, Ainsworth's been used, that kind of impact sub with a bit of pace, I think that's perhaps been McGee's thinking with Robinson. He's thought, you know, Robinson's got a bit of pace, he can be the quick, fast, you know, play the ball up to the corners and let them run onto it, kind of substitute. Obviously, we didn't do that, and that was the issue. In terms of the actual rumours, I tend to agree with Joe there. I think that it's easy enough to sort of see one of your players who, you know, a first-team player who has been playing well in the last few weeks when he's been on the park, suddenly isn't in the team, you know, as the transfer window opens. Yeah, it's an automatic kind of reaction for football fans to start talking about it. Until something, you know, a bit more clear-cut comes up, then, you know, I won't tend to buy into the rumours. That said, I mean, he's what, late 20s now, 28, 29? As settled as he might be at Motherwell, if he can get, you know, a half-decent move down south, then, you know, he could set himself up for a good many years, depending on, you know, just when you look at some of the wages they can offer. So I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think simply because he's settled in Motherwell, we should read into it too much the other way and think that it's all nonsense. But I think that, you know, football fans posting on forums because a player isn't in the team, I think it's a little bit, you know, jumping the gun a little bit.
See, I think the thing is as well, there must be a fair degree of frustration in Lionel Ainsworth just now that he's seen James McFadden coming back. Whether he was injured or not, it must be disappointing for Lionel to find himself on the bench at Motherwell when he's played a big part in the last 12 months. You've got the young Dom Thomas coming through and fighting for a place as well. It might be the case that Ainsworth's maybe realising that he's kind of slipped down the pecking order, even just slightly, and it's time for to look elsewhere and find a fresh opportunity. I don't know. I really do hope that it's not the case that he does move on, but I could see the logic behind a move away from Motherwell.
Yeah, I could as well if I was him. I mean, you look at it and you go from a guy who's been pivotal in a team. I mean, can you imagine the playoffs without Ainsworth? And think about if you're in May and we've played the first leg of the playoff, you're coming away from Ibrox saying Ainsworth had a great game tonight, and then you go to Fir Park on the Sunday and you're coming away saying Ainsworth had a great game again and he's out of contract, and you're saying despite how his attitude was the first half of last season, you're desperate to keep him. He's a guy who's got spectacular goals in him. He's got goals out of nothing in him. He's got assists in him. And yeah, you're saying to yourself, he is key to our success. If we can get a manager that can get him motivated and get him playing well, then it can be a massive player for us. Because in the past two seasons, he scored 20 goals and got 20 assists. And that's with five or six games each season where he hasn't looked interested. And for me, Mark McGee in his two spells at Motherwell has proved to be a guy who can get the best out of people who either weren't performing or weren't fit or had some bad attitude problems. He seems to be able to put them in the straight and narrow. So Ainsworth and McGee seemed like a good pairing to me for a Motherwell side. If he can maybe break into the team, if there's an injury here or there, then maybe we'll see that. But I could see why he would maybe want to leave. But from a selfish perspective, I would rather have him in our bench than in one of the English teams that's been quoted starting 11.
Yeah, I'm just... Sorry to go off on a tangent. I've been linked to an article while you were talking there, Joe. I was listening closely as well, I must confess. But it was the top 50 players in Scottish football in the year 2015. And there's only one Motherwell player that actually features in that. And it's kind of... It just shows that you're a very wise guest, Joe, because number 14 in that list is Stephen Pearson.
Well, I have said throughout this season, when he wasn't in the team and when he was in the team, he has proved probably to be our most important player.
Well, the blurb that goes with it actually gives the record, and I'm frantically trying to get the page back up so I can the stats on it. 2 seconds.
Well, it's not surprising though. I mean, Pearson's been top class since he came in. Again, you know, we can sort of moan all day about Barraclough and what he did and some of the players he brought in, and I suppose you could put forward the argument that he might not have had such a great deal to do with bringing in guys like Pearson and McDonald, but Pearson in particular for me has been different class since he came in. He's a different, certainly a not maybe not a different type of player. He's still got a bit of a nasty streak. Some of his tackles are a bit questionable. He seems right up for it. But those are the kind of players you need at times. And I think if we are going to go on and push the top six, then we need to keep somebody like Pearson fit.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I mentioned to you last week after the game that I couldn't believe his engine for a 33-year-old. He's one of very few players of his type in Scottish football just now. Like a proper box-to-box midfielder. You get guys that are good at doing the defensive work and guys that are good at doing the attacking, but Pearson seems to just have that engine to get up and down and up and down. And I can actually remember saying to a few of you last year when we brought him back at first, he's 32 now. What's he going to be like? When we remember him playing for Motherwell, it was as a left winger that flew up and down. And I can remember us all discussing Pearson now that he wouldn't be as pacey. He'll maybe play in centre midfield and he'll be a bit wiser and that'll make up for his lost pace. But when we've actually seen him play, the lost pace doesn't seem to be there. He seems to just have the same engine and the same pace that he did the last time. And it's been absolutely pivotal in any good result we've had this season for me.
The record's absolutely astounding, it must be said. Played 27, won 13, drew 4 and lost 10 with him in the side. Without him, played 16, won just one game, drew 5 and lost 10. And the writer of the story, I think it's Craig Fowler from The Scotsman, goes on to say, with them, Motherwell are easily a top 6 side. Without him, they're just as bad as Dundee United statistically, so...
Yeah, just goes to show you.
It's a very valid point, but as I say, that was a complete and utter tangent, so sorry about that.
He's quite humble too, Pearson. That's one thing that goes in his favour.
Scottish Cup has thrown up an interesting tie with Cove Rangers making the long trip down to Fir Park on Saturday afternoon. Jed, looks like an opportunity to perhaps give some players that haven't featured prominently over the last couple of weeks a bit of game time. Personally, I'm really hoping to see an appearance from James McFadden. It could be potentially his last and claret and amber. It should be an opportunity to put a few goals in as well and put on a bit of a show. First round of the Scottish Cup or the third round or the fourth round when we have historically entered the competition. It's always a big day for the fans, and it's always one to look forward to. And I don't think this one's any different, despite the notable kind of difference in the standard and the calibre of opposition. We've got to treat them with a degree of respect and make sure we get the job done.
Yeah, that's it. That's the nail on the head. These kind of ties, you all, particularly at home, you kind of go into and you think, oh, it'll be a chance to give, you know, Cadden, Thomas, these kind of guys a run out, not chop a few goals. But we have to remember, first and foremost, we're Motherwell. It doesn't tend to go that way when it comes to cup ties. Secondly, the difference, you know, these sort of Highland League teams and some junior sides, you know, there isn't this massive gulf in quality between those kind of teams and lower league sides. And we've seen in the past, you know, lower league sides have knocked us out of the cup plenty of times. So it's certainly not a game to kind of, you know, dismiss as an easy victory. But it's a game that we obviously should be winning. It's a game that we should be winning by a few goals. It's interesting you mentioned McFadden there. We spoke a good few weeks ago when we had the Cove fan on about, you know, ways in which you could perhaps get the crowd up a little bit. I was talking to my dad about the game recently, and he made the suggestion, you know, that it's a perfect opportunity for Motherwell to perhaps announce in the run-up to the game, you know, perhaps midweek, that James McFadden is, you know, scheduled to start the game, in the hope that might get a few more punters in the door who are keen to see Faddy play for perhaps the last time in Motherwell. So, you know, I think there's an opportunity there for the club to maybe do something like that if indeed McGee wants to start McFadden. But, you know, we need to remember it's still a cup tie. It's still a competitive tie that we want to win, and that we want to, you know, if we're going to continue with the daft budgeting of cup runs and top six finishes, then it's a tie that first and foremost we need to win. You know, giving swan songs to Motherwell legends or notching up a few goals or blooding the youngsters, yeah, by all means go for it, but those are secondary. We need to actually win the tie first and foremost.
Joe, I suppose the other hand of that is you look back at the Albion Rovers tie and one of the lowest points in the club's history of losing in the Scottish Cup to Albion Rovers. There must be a real desire within the club to avoid any sort of possibility of a repeat of that. It's got to be comprehensive, and it's a real marker has to be put down to show that we're the Premiership side and we are a class above a Highland League side.
Oh, most definitely, as Jay said, there's a lot of Highland League teams now where the golf isn't great, and a lot of them don't actually want to join league football because it would see them losing out in money. So when you look at that, it's not that different from Albion Rovers, who were in the bottom division when they beat us. So then I was casting my mind back to the Albion Rovers game and thinking about our front six that day. I mean, with Bob McHugh and Henry Annier up front, who were decent finishers, but you have to get them the ball in the box for them to do anything. They wouldn't create anything themselves. Then your midfield was Francis Angle on the left, Lawson and Carswell in the centre, and McFadden on the right. And that was when he was going through that phase of playing where he clearly was injured, and he later said that he shouldn't have been playing. So I think even with all our youthful options, we do have creativity in the team just now, and I would like to see us put out a team that is like a base of first team players, supplemented with maybe the odd fringe player or youngster. But for me, that day against Albion Rovers, was there was no creativity in the side, whether we'd been playing Albion Rovers, Celtic, Barcelona or Motherwell Miners. I think we would have struggled to score that day. We just had no penetration, we had nothing in the final third. So that's one thing that I can't see it being a repeat of, but we do have to be wary that the last time we did play a side of similar reputation in the Scottish Cup, we did go out. So we have to go out and do a professional job. The irrational fan in me would love to see it sort of being billed as James McFadden Day, but the rational fan in me is just thinking about the long game and wants to bet Hampden and May. But as I say, I would love to see James McFadden playing on Saturday. It's something I've looked forward to since he re-signed.
Is it the Scottish Cup? It doesn't have to throw up some real possibilities, and the 25th anniversary. What better time than to go all the way and claim glory? It's a long way away, but I think given the current mindset and the optimism around the club, it feels like a decent possibility.
Certainly, I wouldn't want to rule ourselves out. Anything can happen over the course of a 90-minute cup tie. If we do go through against Cove, then we get a tie, we can go through in the next round, then I don't see any reason why not, the way we're playing just now. So we're obviously dreaming of Hamden as every year, and then soon comes crashing down. But yeah, I don't see any reason why, if not the final or winning it, I don't see the reason why we can't go far in the cup this year, enjoy a couple of days out, hopefully.
It's amazing what a couple of lagers or the festive period can do. That's the first podcast of the year and Sparrow's got us into Europe and the cup final.
I'd take that just now if you offered me.
I know it's kind of seems like wild optimism, but as it's just the kind of, there's a real positivity about the place just now, so why not kick on and see what it can bring. You've got a really good start in the cup with a winnable tie against Cove. You perhaps get another lower league side. After me talking about Albion Rovers there, I know that sounds a bit bizarre, but you get a few winnable ties and suddenly you find yourself at the quarterfinal stage, and anything could happen from there. Celtic have shown in recent years that they find it difficult to go all the way in the Scottish Cup. So I don't see why there's a great cause for not being optimistic and not fancying our chances. If we can avoid some of the bigger sides, then why not?
Oh no, absolutely. I mean, I think every cup, at the start of every sort of cup run, or not, if that's the case, I think it's not the natural kind of response is to be optimistic, because you hit the nail on the head. I mean, you know, whereas in the league, you know, you have your fixture list, you have to go and beat, you know, your Hearts, your Aberdeens, those kind of teams, if you want to push on for Europe. But in the cup, you know, the luck of the draw, you know, you can end up in the final having not really played anybody who you would normally suggest has been at a tricky tie. So, you know, if your luck's in, you can get the draw and you can actually, you know, get the results happening on the park, then there is, of course, no reason why it can't happen. But, you know, obviously, first and foremost, it has to be taking one game at a time and beating Cove on Saturday.
Yeah, I agree totally. But I mean, the cup call at the time can come down to bottle, and I don't think Ronnie Dyla's Celtic team have got much bottle. So if there's any time to fancy yourself as an outside bet to win the cup, it's now. I mean, like, you took last season, the final was Inverness or Falkirk. You'd have to fancy yourself if you were playing either of them at any stage. I mean, when you're in the league finishing in a high place, as you say, you need to do well against your Aberdeens, your Hearts, but you need to do well against them 3-4 times a season. Whereas a cup game, it's anybody in Scottish football can beat anybody in a one-off tie, and that's what makes it exciting. That's what makes you think that if you do get the rub of the green, get a couple of good games, the fourth and fifth round, and you're into the quarterfinals, you're kind of on your way. So there's no reason why not, but maybe we shouldn't get our hopes up just too soon.
Guys, we'll leave it there for this week. We've still got a review of the year to do, which was meant to be today, but it might be tomorrow or a wee bit later on in the week, but we'll get there eventually. Thanks as always, though. It's been a good chat and good to get back to it.
Aye, cheers.
Cheers, Sparrow.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back a bit later on in the week. Until then, thank you, goodbye.